I don't know why I trust you guys with anything.
I think at that stage we should just like I should hop the border and come. You know, we should just record it in person.
Yeah.
See what what we should do is just record it on Twitch so we can just rip the VOD and cut the audio out and then that's easy.
Damn. But then we can't have music because Twitch will take us down. And we love music.
I love doing Yes. But we should clap, right?
No, don't worry about clapping. It's the backup.
If
it's the backup.
No, let him live this one, John Luke. He's allowed to make his own mistakes.
Oh my god.
Comics podcast, I'm editing this week, so I...
You know what? I kind of hope something goes on the Zencaster, so you have to line up the 3 or 4 files that no.
You know, back before I started this podcast...
Oh, I've done that so many times.
Why would you do that
when you don't have to?
Because
this is the Comics Podcast. Hi, everyone. Jean-Luc's our host.
Well, this is the problem, is that I thought we were clapping and I didn't realize we were starting the episode.
He said welcome to the Comics Podcast.
All right.
Okay, so
just go.
Hello and welcome to episode the 241st of Fiona's One and Only Comics Podcast, or podcast about comic books, the Comics Podcast. I forgot my intro because I'm so flustered by the fucking goon squad behind the scenes here.
Their comics, their podcast, their the bird, the guard, the chauffeur.
That's a really good Norwegian accent.
Oh, thank you. Hi. thanks for the intro, Jan. I'm sorry those numbskulls Emily and Chad are giving you the rubble round, though. But don't worry, we'll keep them in line. How y'all doing?
Oh my god.
Well, since we didn't put out an episode last week, and it's my fault because my audio decided to die. I get to tell everybody about my cat again.
That's true.
Cause
it is the cat time. I do take credit, and also, you know, the reason Jean-Luc's flustered this week is because we're back in Zencaster, which means Chad has to, you know, use Microsoft Edge and you know, all this stuff going on. So, but it's worth it for the cat stories. And if this one doesn't go well, we get to hear it a third time next week. So
that's true. I have a new cat. His name is Buster, which is short for both Bustopher Jones and Gun Buster at the same time. And he's a good boy. And his nuts got chopped off earlier this week. And he's handling it pretty well.
Damn.
Yeah.
I heard he stole some bagels.
He did. Okay, I think I only told you and Alice this. I don't think I told Alex and John this. But this morning I woke up and went in my kitchen and Buster had gotten up into the cabinet above the countertop and dragged out a bag of bagels and chewed a hole into it and then like gnawed on like 2 or 3 of the bagels, which there was only 3 of them in there, and then just left them, didn't even actually eat any, just like sunk his teeth in and decided he didn't want it, and then I had to throw those bagels away. And it was very upsetting. That's how my morning started today.
He is a very good boy, based on what I've
heard. He's a bandit and a little bastard.
Good for him.
Aw.
I'm glad he's living his life.
And this is not the only time that he has stolen food. Several days ago, there was old pizza that got thrown away in the garbage can. And he knocked the top off of the garbage can and got in there and dragged the pizza out and was just munching on it in the middle of the kitchen floor.
Did he actually eat the pizza, though?
He was like, he ate a little bit of it, but he didn't eat enough that we were worried.
What brand did he say no to? Like, he just had a little bit, and then he was like, no, it's not it.
I don't even remember what brand the bagels were.
What about the pizza?
The pizza was a DiGiorno pizza.
I feel if it was Domino's, Buster would have gone for the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, then we would have been worried.
I'll stand DiGiorno. They're fine.
Yeah, DiGiorno's
are
fine.
They're fine. They're not as good as Domino's, but they're fine.
I keep one in DiGiorno. The freezer just in case.
Is DiGiorno Delicio in Canada? I mean, there's no way you guys would know that because you don't live in Canada.
I think Delicio is also just a separate brand.
Yeah. Because I feel like I've seen that here as well, but...
Yeah, I've definitely seen Delicio in grocery stores.
Let's see, DiGiorno, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I have yet to find a pizza at home that tastes as good.
DiGiorno and Delicio are a co-owned brand of frozen pizza sold in the United States and Canada, and they are currently subsidiaries of Nestle.
Ah, Nestle.
Those bastards.
I like how eight companies own everything.
It's great.
I love it. It's great. It's wonderful.
And one of those companies is the Comics Podcast. So thank you for our sponsors. Yep.
The Comics Podcast, the secret owners of Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Magic the Gathering, and Discord.
And Speed Racer.
I wish.
And police sirens. Jean-Luc, what are you getting arrested for this time?
That's
actually, those are my police sirens.
Oh, well, we all know why Emily's being arrested.
Hold on. Why am I being arrested?
You do lots of drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Your hair is your hair is green.
Oh, yeah, they arrest you for that now.
Well, see, cops have red and blue, right? Like, that's their colors. So red and blue makes green, but they don't.
I don't think that's how colors work at all.
Do red and blue make green?
Red and blue make purple, which is a very topical segue into talking about someone else's hair.
I'm glad I segued that because I didn't know what made green. But,
wait, did you seriously not know what made green?
Chad, tell us what is that for his hair.
Chad, tell us the color combination that makes green.
Yeah.
No, Chad, tell us about your hair.
It's clearly blue and yellow. It's blue and yellow. Now that I think about it, it's blue and yellow.
That
is not what is in
Chad's hair.
Somebody
is really in trouble.
And we should continue. We should hurry up before Emily gets hauled away.
Well, that was the fire department.
Oh, then that's like a compliment. It's like, oh, you're on fire. And okay. That's kind of an expensive way to say that, fire people. I don't know. But
Chad, tell us
about
your hair.
I dyed my hair purple.
You did?
I did on Friday. It's a very muted shade of purple. I've had a lot of people not really be able to tell I dyed it at all.
You sent us that selfie, and my first thought was, why the fuck did Chad send us a selfie? That doesn't seem...
That was what
mom liked,
too. That's
the same thing that Chad's mom said.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it, but I thought it, and then I looked at the picture, and I looked at one of his bangs, because I was admiring his luscious locks. And I was like, oh, he dyed it. Oh. And then I got it, but I was a little slow on the uptake.
It is sort of hard because the picture has the sun behind you, right? So I feel like if you had been facing the sun with it, we could see the purple.
Yeah.
More purpley.
Probably.
But I still like the purple that we saw.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I feel like an anime character, but like a secret one because it is like super subtle.
Right.
But I know it's there and that's cool.
Do you ever think that you will bleach any of your hair and do color, or are you just going to stick with like...
That's a hard maybe. It would depend a lot on like price and how long it would take.
Okay. I mean, it's probably going to be about $100 if you go to like a good salon. Your mileage may vary depending on what you have available in your area. But you could just get them to like bleach it like blonde and then do the... like overtone at home yourself. So
yeah,
I thought it would cost more than that.
Well, the getting color done would probably cost more, but $100 is pretty good.
Yeah, I think when I did it, it was like 100, 120. That's in Canada, so again, like you know.
Yeah, Canada's gonna be a little more expensive just because like of the dollar there.
Isn't that cheaper? Isn't $120 Canadian cheaper than $100 US?
Well, I just meant like literally the number is going to be bigger.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, I'll feel worse about doing it than Chad will because I'll pay 120. He might pay 100.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Even though if you do the thing, it might be. No,
why would you? Different. You get paid in US dollars. Like you're literally fucking living it up like a fucking robber baron. Right, over
I mean,
there.
I am a fat cat who gets paid in US dollars. And love seeing that happen every month.
You are living like a king in Canada, dude.
It's like that film Wonder Woman that has that scene where it's Maxwell Lord and he's talking about, you know, he's saying, you know, life is good, but it could be better. And like that's every time I get a paycheck where I'm like, oh, you know, like that's not bad. It's pretty good. And then the conversion.
And
hops
then you
in,
convert it, yeah.
And it's like, oh man, that's instant.
That's nice, yeah.
This instant thing. Oh.
Well, Alex, now that you have finally seen the hit 2020 film Wonder Woman 1984, mm-hmm. would you like to report on?
Like we're gonna skip over the paint thinner part of my story, but okay.
I guess we are.
I want to hear the paint thinner part.
Chad, continue.
So when I got done kind of putting the initial stuff in my hair, it got really messy. I was trying to be careful and I got really bored of being careful pretty quickly. And I was like, I can just goop it on and just smoosh it around. And yeah. I got it like all over my forehead and the side of my face. And I was like, oh shit, this stuff isn't coming off very well. Oh, I have just a can of paint thinner in the basement. Oh, I bet if I mix that with water, because I wanted to cut it a bit. I'm not completely ridiculous, guys. Please. So I did two parts water to one part paint thinner. And I was like, yeah, you know, so this is less than what I would use if I was stripping a model to repaint. And I was like, this will be good for my skin. And so I scrubbed my forehead off and I was like, yeah, I took it all off pretty quickly and easily. And then it started to tingle. And then it kept on tingling, and I was like, oh, it's been a couple minutes. Why is my forehead still tingling in a way that's almost painful, but not quite there? I should probably not do this ever again. And then I took water and kind of massaged my forehead a little bit, and everything was good after that. But I learned a lesson.
When you said paint thinner, I in my head, I'm like, uh-oh. These your painting escapades I knew it. I knew you were going to put paint thinner on yourself because of how well it worked with your painting.
The real worry is that I was going to make myself even whiter than I am now.
I would like to note that throughout most of this process, Chad has like asked me questions, but then when it came time to get hair dye off of his skin, it did not occur to him that I might have had a solution for this.
Well, Emily, to be fair, you have hair dye on your hair. We've never seen you without the hair dye in your hair. Not that I've, you know.
Yeah, you may have been born with green hair, Emily. We can't prove.
So, God, I wish.
Yes, you're a master at getting the hair the color, but we're not so sure that you're good at getting rid of the color because the color's still there, you know?
You know, that's a fair point, Alex.
But at the same time, paint thinner. That's wonderful, Chad.
Apparently just like Dawn in a good scrub does the same.
I said dish detergent the first time, but laundry detergent.
You said laundry detergent, and then I told someone else that was recommended, and I was told, no, that's really stupid and bad for your skin, too. Doesn't make any sense.
You just like...
Because it goes on your clothes.
If you put straight laundry detergent, you have to like dilute it a little bit with some water and lather it a little bit, and...
That's what I did with the paint thinner.
Chad, what do you think happened to the laundry detergent that you put on their clothes and on your clothes in the process of washing that.
Jean-Luc, I have you know that I own a washing machine and a dryer in my house.
Okay.
And I use them, and magic happens. I don't know how they work. If they break, I'm gonna need someone to fix them.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do.
That's good to know, I suppose.
Well, I'm happy that a few days.
Well, I've used laundry detergent and water on my skin, and I'm fine.
Are you? I've met you.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But I mean, I am not any different than I was before that happened. So.
You say.
Again,
I've always been like this.
Detergent. I guess the moral of the story is that you should dye your hair. It's fun.
Yay.
I was kind of getting cold feet, and then I decided I was just going to do it. And once I started, it was like, oh, shit, there's a lot of purple goop in my hair. This is like, I can't just undo this. There's no control Z.
That's wonderful.
So, John, when are you going to dye your hair?
I don't think I am going to dye my hair.
Okay.
Oh, I just assumed because Alex has dyed his before, or at least he's bleached it. So
yeah,
if you assume because Alex is gonna has dyed his hair before that I'm gonna dye my hair.
Yeah.
Because you're the last one remaining.
The thing is, as much as I would love to be a sex symbol in the way Alex is, I just don't have it in me. So I've given up.
I mean, none
on
of
trying.
Us do.
Yeah.
Look, Alex is the unattainable goal.
Yeah, well, that's why it's not a goal anymore, if it's not attainable. So
he's got a point. You can't like stress over things you can't change.
Exactly.
I never thought of an unattainable goal like that.
It's. I'm pretty sure it's in that it's inherently contradictory. But... Wow,
English sucks, guys. So.
Yeah.
That's why my degree is in my dresser and not hanging on my wall.
My degree was sitting on my dresser, and then it fell off, and I haven't put it back since. Nice. So.
My degree is in a frame, but it's sitting next to my desk.
Oh yeah, my parents got mine framed for me when they were home. They didn't even tell me they were doing it. It had been sitting on like a piano bench that we have sitting in the living room area for a long time. And then one day I noticed it was gone and I was like, oh, I guess someone threw it away or something.
I threw away my diploma.
It doesn't matter. Like I can like they're gonna tell me that like if a job ever wants to check if I have a degree, like I don't need the physical piece of paper.
They're gonna say, show me your wall, Jean-Luc, or we're not giving you the job. And then they're gonna say, shit, it's not hung up. And they'll be like, wow, are you not proud of going to school? Perhaps you didn't go to school. Perhaps you're lying to us. Perhaps you're not really
I could just say that I graduated from Harvard on my resume and nobody would be the wiser. Like I could probably just do that.
You don't look like a Harvard graduate.
Wow.
But the thing is would they check?
Probably not, but they would suspect.
Well, I would vouch for you, Jean-Luc, even though I learned this week that I can't vouch for you, and I guess it kind of makes sense, but I'm sad I can't give you, be a background check source because I'm a foreign nationalist.
Well, you can be, like, a reference, but yeah, not a background check.
Yeah, person. I've actually vouched for Jean-Luc. I remember that. Yeah. We've talked about that before.
We have, yeah. You might have to do it again soon.
Okay.
Someone's in the job market. Let's go.
Yeah. Someone also watched Wonder Woman 1984 last weekend.
We really did. We really did. We really, really did.
Yeah. So Alex, to get back to what I was asking you before.
Right.
What did you think about, you know, I wish I had come prepared with some of the tweets people wrote about this movie when it came out so I could set it up properly. But, what did you think about Wonder Woman 1984?
A critically acclaimed film. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It started off okay, and then it got good because Maxwell Lord, and played by everyone's favorite Mandalorian Pedro Pascal.
Did it start off okay? Do you believe that?
Okay, after the first 20 minutes of needless exposition that actually didn't lead to anything except like a suit reveal at the end of the movie and a Lego set that Jean-Luc didn't buy because now it's out of stock. It got good because Pedro Pascal was there and he was acting all zany and he was all like, you know, he's like a slimy sort of salesman person, but like kind of charming in his own way. And it was funny. And he did the meme line and it was like, oh, this is good. And the rest of the movie had a lot of lines about him wanting to touch young people and old people and regular people. It was a whole monkey paw wish thing, but they made it sound like it was like the deepest thing ever, like the monkey paw. And they were like completely serious when they were saying it. Steve and Diana like take over Steve takes over a guy's body because Diana wishes for it, and it's like it was a regular guy and she used the monkey's paw to like get Steve Trevor, her boyfriend who died, into his body, and then they have sex, which I think is rape because this guy got his body taken over, and then you know Wonder Woman and him have sex, and it's just a really weird movie. That's also kind of really boring. So,
dude, that movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What
did you think, Jean-Luc?
I think that more superhero movies should be like Venom.
You're not wrong.
In that, I think that the one part of this movie that we both liked, which is that Maxwell Lord scene at the beginning of the movie, or towards, I guess it's like 40 minutes into the movie, but that's still technically the beginning. Sets up this rom-com love triangle. And I think the movie would be way better if it did that instead of what it actually does, which is just really boring. The worst part, the stupidest part about it is that like Pedro Pascal plays Maxwell Lord, who is just a total non-character. He has no motivation for anything he does. it's just a really odd movie. It's also, and this part about it has been talked to death kind of, but it boggles my mind that this was like a big budget studio movie, because it looks like fucking garbage. Like, yeah. The CGI literally looks like it was like from a movie that was released in like the 90s in terms of how bad the effects look. And I think that it's just more than anything, it's just a reminder that they should just do all of this shit with practical effects, because it looks way better. Mm-hmm. And trying to do the CG shit, like, you can make CG look good, but the downside is that when you make it look bad, it looks awful. Like, the action scenes are just shot really badly. Like, Patty Jenkins has no idea how to shoot an action scene, but it's not really her fault, because she's shooting action scenes to look like action scenes in popular movies, which have almost like unanimously looked like dog shit for the last 15 years, in that they're like, there's like super close-ups and like 40 cuts a second. And then this one just has the really awful CG effects on top of that, that just make it look really embarrassing.
I joked near the end that I think that Chad and Emily would like this movie, because there was the part with Cheetah where she was with Cheetah, and I'm like, hey, it's Cats.
Oh, that's fair.
20 the year of it, but you know,
I don't like my personality being just lumped as that one thing. I have purple hair now.
That's not the only reason. I think you guys also like bad movies from the early 2000s with shitty CG.
Fuck you.
So I think
I like great movies from the early 2000s.
I'm hopping off this bus and getting on the Speed Racer.
Don't admit to that. Have some pride, Emily.
Speed Racer is great.
I do
CGI,
like,
first of all,
bad movies from the early 2000s with shitty CG. That's like part of my whole brand.
Yeah, like, I like some of those movies also, but it is some of the shit in this movie looks like it came from something that you guys would sit here and talk about for 20 minutes and
it's terrible.
And would be
never that rude to talk about something stupid for 20 minutes. Fuck
Chad
you.
Star
Wars Riverdale.
Check the tape.
Chad would tell me that I'm no fun and I hate everything because I didn't like this movie.
Accurate.
It's kind of one of those. But I don't know. This movie is way too long, though.
It is. There's like a 30-minute scene at the beginning that serves for nothing, and then the rest of the movie they're just like, I don't know. Wonder Woman's gonna, you know, they're gonna get in the body. Now they're gonna get out of the body. And Wonder Woman's just a jerk in this movie to like everyone.
Yeah, she's
so
a
cold.
Bitch.
I don't know. She's like everyone she
sucks.
Meets, and like, she doesn't really help anyone except unless it's like a big scene where it's like, I've saved you, child, and never like Wonder Woman, yay. But the thing is that as much as I was thinking about recommending this film or this scene to you, Chad and Emily, by the time the scene ended, I was like, I can't put you guys through this. But just don't. I'm glad that you guys, I don't think you've seen Wonder Woman 1984, and you know, you don't have to. And if you do, I don't know.
I did see a movie this week that wasn't Wonder Woman 1984, but it was Ready Player One.
Oh, oh wow. Look at you.
Oh.
And
had you not seen it yet?
No, because I read the book
For some reason, I thought you had already seen it.
No, my neighbor lent us the movie because he likes anything that's science fiction. He's pretty broad on like quality, doesn't care. And he's like, oh, you guys might like this. And I was like, eh. And then I had the day off and I was like, Dad, we should watch a movie. And so we just threw that one in. And honestly, I had a decent amount of fun with it. It's got problems, but as far as adaptations go, it's like way better than the source material. Like, so much better than the source material. And that my dad's kind of into VR now, because he plays almost like an hour a day, and I've been playing VR chat pretty regularly. Like, it added to it. Like, I was like, I kind of relate to some of this shit. Like, I feel like there'd be more giant-breasted furries as walking around with guns instead of, you know, like, video game characters. But no, there's still video game characters. Like, I got a really good Master Chief, but he's got, like, kitty ears, and he's pink, and he's got paws. Like,
oh, that's
you know.
A good one.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is incredible. So,
I was muted when Chad showed me that, but I was very happy.
So it was honestly, it was kind of a fun movie. It was fun to like see some of the stuff they did, be like, oh, that's how they're tackling, you know, like his extra life coin or like this Deus Ex bullshit. Like, the action scenes were pretty fun. It was definitely 20 minutes too long, but it was fine.
Are you going to watch Ready Player 2?
No. Well, no. Have they confirmed a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Probably not.
Wait, have they?
I'm pretty sure when the book came out, there was. I mean, it was at least like signed to a thing. And I think I'm not sure if Spielberg's back with it or not, but Ernest Cline was like, "That's been picked up. Suck it, everyone else."
I
hate that that man has so much money. It's just like the world is not a meritocracy, Ernest Cline.
No, it's not.
Those are my thoughts on Ready Player One.
Good.
Yeah.
The time has finally come after.
They're gonna talk about anime now, aren't they?
Literally a year, I finally watched K-On, the show that Chad has been trying to get me to watch. Like I said, for a year now. I watched almost all of the first season. I'm like one episode shy of finishing the season. And turns out the show is really good, and maybe Chad had a point.
Thank you. I feel vindicated.
You should.
I feel vindictive.
You, like, nobody told me that this show was also, like, just really well animated on top of being cute and funny.
It's cutie. Like, I feel like that was, That kind of goes with the territory.
But I just, because it was just, like, a show about, like, high school girls in, like, a band, I didn't really have high expectations for the animation, but, like, you can, like, see sometimes they'll actually be playing the music that is playing, like, and that's just fucking mind-blowing to me, and it's really pretty, and all the girls are really cute, and their friendships are all really cute and fun, and it's really good. It's been very charming. I watched the dub because I'm a heathen, but the dub is really good.
How do they handle the songs in the dub?
They don't. They actually didn't translate the songs. They just have like original tracks for the songs. So it just like they'll start. They'll like introduce the song, and then it'll just be like the original Japanese track. So
there's an excellent song in season two.
I'm looking forward to starting season two.
Yeah, I actually really, really like the soundtrack to this anime, and I've listened to it multiple times just on Spotify, but, like, the songs that were written for this band, that these girls write, are like, a lot of them are really fun, and Yui writes a really stupid one about eating rice, and it's fucking great.
The ending song gets stuck in my head all the time. It's
really yeah, the song good. Is a jam.
Oh yeah, I love it.
But it is like my favorite anime now. It's good.
I don't blame you. It's really good. That I didn't watch Yashihime because I was busy finishing up or trying to finish up this anime before we recorded, but I was one episode short.
Lots of Setsuna backstory in the newest episode.
Interesting. I'm excited to find out.
It's fine. They bring back a character from the original Inuyasha for a bit that I was like, I recognize her kind of poor design. I can't remember why. And then by the end, I was like, oh, it's her from like season two and no one gives a fuck anymore. But that was kind of neat. Moroku showed up again. We haven't seen Sango do anything, but we keep seeing Moroku show up. And I feel like that's just unfair to everybody.
It's true. This show has been so horrible to Sango, and it makes me furious, even though I am not even a huge, like, original Inuyasha fan. I've been thinking about going back and watching an episode or two of the dub just to see, like, what it sounds like, because it's a thing that I have access to, but I have not done that yet. I'll let you know if it's any good. Not that you'll watch it, but just, like... You know,
Inuyasha.
Yashihime. A handful of the first few episodes.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that, but
yeah.
See, and that's.
I figured I'd check it out.
Might as well.
Yeah, no.
That's
been
anime really corner for 5 minutes instead of 20.
I'll have everyone know that I cut out, like, an hour from that talk, so. You're welcome. No, but that I'm glad you guys are enjoying the animes. They finally saw K-On.
I am enjoying the animes. I didn't watch Riverdale this week, so I'll have to.
Thank God.
God damn it.
I watched Naruto this week.
Am I the only person who watched the new episode of Riverdale?
Yeah, I'm one episode behind.
God. And you have the option every week to watch it Thursday night with your friends, but you choose not to.
I choose Fletch with me, mommy.
Sad.
As it were. Yeah. But anyway, Gaara and Sasuke, they started fighting. But then Sasuke's curse mark went off.
Riverdale?
Yeah. I watch it with two of my friends.
Oh. And they do a Discord watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex has been invited many times to be, well, I think once at the beginning of every season.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I want to watch it with my mom. And you guys are like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, we watch it. I watch it.
Yeah, how's Naruto?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so Gaara and Sasuke were fighting. They're like in the woods fighting because the Chunin exams got interrupted by a whole coup going on, and I wasn't happy about that. But now they're actually basically doing their fights, which is kind of neat. Yeah, coups, yeah, you know, whatever. But Gaara and Sasuke are fighting. Coots. It's a coup. Is that like a cute name for a coup? I feel like that's the U.S. government. Like that's what they try to deliver. They're like, oh, you know, it's a coup, but it's a coochie coup. And it's like, oh, okay, all right. You guys keep on doing war crimes. But this is not about war crimes. This is about Sasuke's curse mark, and then it goes off, and then Naruto comes over here, and then we get Gaara's backstory, and he's just a sad kid. So I don't know.
I always liked Gaara. He was cool. And
yeah, I hated Gaara up till this point. And now I'm like, oh, okay. Well, he still like murders, you know, like 50% of the people he meets. But maybe there's a reason for it, which is neat. But it's getting good. And I think the third Hokage is getting killed. But literally, it's been 5 episodes where like, oh, he's dead. But now he's like maybe not dead. And he's reaching into the soul to try to kill Orochimaru or take his soul away. So, you know, if any of these words meant anything to you, congratulations. Naruto's fun.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that you're watching it. I'm still enjoying these little updates.
Who knows what will happen next time.
I'm on season 3 of Community. That's still fun.
Oh, fun!
That show gets, like, progressively more weird and stupid as it goes. Like, these characters now are not the ones from season 1.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like, everybody kind of gets flanderized by like season 4, I would say, and then things kind of like soft reset in season 5, but not really.
Yeah, like,
or season
I
6.
Like the plots are way more dumb and I like them, but it's like, man, they made Britta really stupid.
Yeah, they did, and it's really frustrating, and that's not just because I've been unfavorably compared to late season's Britta in the past.
Oof. Oh no. Yeah.
She's not a very likable character.
Some people are not nice.
Yeah, that I'm sorry someone said that to you, Emily. That's rude. That cuts deep.
Anyway. Yeah, I like Community, but boy does it go through a lot.
Yeah.
I just saw the Glee episode, though. That was pretty fun.
The Glee Club.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, am constantly, during the holiday seasons, quoting the Santa Baby parody, where she's like, boop-be-doop-be-doop-be-doop, sex.
Yeah, and, like, Chef's just like, is this a bit?
Why, yes, it is.
So good.
It was so uncomfortable, too. And I can't believe, like, the actor's fucking gut get into this show. Like, you could tell they have like a hell of a fun time. Like, they commit to literally every dumb thing the writers give them.
Yeah. I think my favorite episode of Community is an animated crossover one with a famous children's property, but I don't think they're there yet, and I don't want to spoil it, so.
Okay, I like the they did the stop motion one, the claymation kind of thing with
Claymation Christmas.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So yeah, that's been fun.
A lot.
Jean, do you want to say anything about Riverdale, or is it too much? Is it possible to talk about Riverdale without spoiling? Like, did you like it?
I don't know. The writers need to figure it out, man.
Oh, no.
They need to figure it out. If I was the writer on this show, Cheryl would easily be the best character, and they continue to fucking drop the fucking ball when it comes to her character. And the twist that they're going to do in the next episode with her is really obvious, and it would be even if it weren't in the trailer for the next episode, but it's very stupid.
Oh, fine.
And they've floundered her character really badly this season, and last season, and the season before that. Season one and two, Cheryl, very good. Yeah. And then they sort of forgot to do with her, and then Tony became a main character this season, and yeah. Mm. That's the one thing that I can say without spoiling it. Although I was going to say, I was thinking about it, and I realized, like, I was thinking about it before the show, because I was, like, trying to think of, like, what I wanted to say about it, and I realized that I got a scene from one of the fan fictions that I've been reading to my friends, confused with something that actually happened in the show.
Yeah, so, I don't know, Jean-Luc hasn't been enjoying Apex all that much recently, but he has been enjoying reading Jughead, Ethel, no, sorry, Dilton, Ethel, and what's the other kid's name? Benjamin Button fan fiction in between lives. So while we're waiting to queue up, Jean-Luc just breaks into it,
and all my friends yell at me and tell me to stop.
Roshan tells you to stop. Okay, shout out to Roshan. But Jean doesn't only read; he also sings the singing parts, and it's quite entertaining.
Yeah,
quite good.
This one fanfic that I was reading, the whole thing is written like a film script. It's fucking terrible, but it does that thing that like lots of fanfics used to do where it has like songs inserted into it with like, yeah, while you're reading this part, you're supposed to be listening to this song. But the worst part about it is that like the characters are also, it's very stupid. But anyway, I was singing along to some of the lyrics.
It's very entertaining. I'm excited for this week's.
Well, I have it bookmarked, so. God, the worst part about that fan fiction is that the person just does not understand what the joke in I'm a Weirdo by the Lonely Island is. Just that joke just went way over their head. So, but it is what it is. It's fun. Yep. I'll look forward to actually talking about Riverdale with you guys when you fucking watch it before the show next week. Do you want to talk about comics?
One last caveat about Riverdale. When I was catching up on episodes of Riverdale, I mentioned it because my wife walked in the room while I was watching it, so I mentioned it was the new episodes. And Gwen quoted the I'm a Weirdo bit and got to the have you ever seen me without this stupid hat or whatever? And I was like, well, actually...
He doesn't wear the hat
anymore. He got rid of it.
He does. Yeah. I have a pillow that my brother got me off Etsy for a birthday, and it's just Jughead quotes from the first two seasons.
That's great.
Including that wonderful one.
It's really good. I have a shirt that's just Jughead's face that I got for a birthday one year.
Riverdale.
Really
merch.
Funny. It's the shirt I use when I'm dyeing my hair because I don't care about dye.
Jughead, no. Oh. Yeah, it's unfortunate to hear that Riverdale has already messing with Cheryl's character this early. Because normally when seasons start, I'm really like
fucked up from the get-go. I've been really into it.
No, I mean like the first couple episodes had good like had the good D&D thing. Then as soon as Archie left,
yeah,
it kinda
but
got weird.
Her whole thing last season was keeping her dead brother like Jason.
Oh, with
body.
Cheryl,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
sucked
yeah.
The whole time. Yeah. The last good moment
was so
when
dumb and weird.
Yeah, the last good Cheryl thing was the dinner scene where she makes her cousins eat her uncle.
Tells them that they did.
Yeah.
Instead, that's, she just murders him.
Yeah, that's the last good Cheryl moment. Other than the Cheryl stuff, though, the new episode, the flip side of that is the new episode has some fucking wacky shit in it.
Okay, that's good.
That is really, really, really good. I don't want to spoil like the things that are good. I don't want to spoil the Cheryl's character sucks. Like,
yeah,
that's.
Then I guess I sort of take back what I was saying because like normally when the seasons start, I'm like they're like really interesting and good for the first few episodes, and then like by the midpoint they're like, wait, like they forget about it and then they like rush to finish it, which I mean last season COVID sort of did that, but the season before they were like, oh, what do we do now? Now we're back. Now we forgot about D&D. Now it's the Fizzle Rocks. Now there's no Fizzle Rocks. So,
well, G&G just got co-opted by the cult thing, which was a bad plot from and the then beginning. The
yeah.
And then, it ended man. Well, but like it was
it ended so well, but it ended so abruptly.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
It started well and ended well, and the show writers continued insistence to not do anything that's actually like paranormal or fantasy or sci-fi related is pure cowardice, but it is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's we'll talk about that more next week probably. I know there are only like a few comics that we all read this week, but do we want to hit those up quickly?
Sure.
Okay. I was going to see if anyone else had anything they wanted to talk about before we do that, since I don't think it's going to take very long. But
I've been playing a lot of Beat Saber still. I don't know. I've been like in the VR thing. Yeah,
playing Carly Rae Jepsen songs on Beat Saber.
Yes. And I mean, thank you, Jean-Luc, for believing in me. Or it wasn't even like you were like, oh, you can play it on Expert. But I was talking to Jean-Luc and I was like, oh, yeah, like I downloaded some Carly Rae Jepsen songs. But there are some that are just available on Expert and I only play up to hard. And Jean-Luc's like, okay, all right, that's cool. And then I came back and I was like, I play Expert now. I did it. So, yeah, I now play songs on Expert and Beat Saber. It was like a moment of like, oh, I guess I'll try an Expert song. And I was like, oh, this is hard, but like faster. But in a way that my body sort of like clicks with it. So I'm having a good time with that. And it's a good workout, so yay.
Nice.
Nice.
Beat Saber.
Yeah, we had a couple Image number ones this week. Neither of which I liked very much, but I would be.
there was a weird one.
I guess, did either of you respond at all to Stray Dogs number one or Two Moons number one? Because if people liked either one of those, then we can start with that.
Stray Dogs number one was interesting to me for a couple reasons. One, the writer, what is it, Tony Fleeks, I know him from My Little Pony comics. He's done a ton of them. I would say he was like on the B team and, you know, sometimes did a really good job. Sometimes did kind of a weird job. You know, he was the B team for a reason, but it was kind of neat seeing him do something not, you know, with that property. Cause this is the first time I've read his writing outside of it. Actually, I don't know if that's true. He might've did that one comic from Boom a while back. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I mostly enjoyed this. I feel like it has like, it almost feels like it's like 3 pages too long. Like it has like, it's one thing it's doing and it just does it a lot. As far as like this house is really big and this dog is really scared. And that's about it. And there's like probably one or too many side characters that I don't think are going to be relevant. Like there's a lot of dogs in this house with names and none of them feel important. I like the art. I think the comic is really cute. There's a couple of curse words in here that come out of fucking nowhere and super don't fit the tone.
I agree.
And it's like, I know you're not writing MLP, dude, and you're an Image, and you can kind of do whatever you want, but like, you know, you gotta, this is a package deal and it has to feel cohesive.
Yeah.
I think the twist at the end is kind of fun. I'm definitely like, down to keep reading because it really establishes like this dog is not a reliable narrator. And so when she's like, oh, this guy killed my owner, it's like, did he though? Or are you just, you know, schizophrenic?
Yeah, the conceit is like, I don't know, the conceit is somewhat compelling, which is that like, oh, it's a dog solving a murder mystery. And then like the other twist there being that like the dog, like, I guess is the thing with dogs that they have really bad short-term memory. So the dog can't really remember anything from before, you know, a few days ago or whatever. So like it starts off with the dog getting a shot and then the dog wakes up and is at a house she doesn't recognize and has this flashback to her owner getting killed. Like conceptually it's kind of interesting and I'm like I'm interested enough like just like, oh, dogs doing a murder mystery. That sounds like fun. That could be fun, I guess, so I'll stick with it for a couple issues. But the book has like no voice. Like everyone is a every character every character is like a cliche, and they all kind of talk the same, with like slight differences to fit like character roles. And I feel like, yeah, like I get like why there's like 15 dogs, but they just feel empty. And you know, if you're gonna have an ensemble cast, like obviously a first issue is not an ideal place to do it, but you could at least make like the main characters interesting and have a unique voice. But like the whole issue is like it's the main dog playing off the like sort of like alpha dog or whatever, and he just exposits the whole time, and she is scared, and that's her entire character, right?
Like, yeah. I will say the facial expressions are super cute. Like, I really like how these dogs are drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the art's pretty cute, but that's about all I think it has going for it.
I actually did like the actual murder flashbacks kind of thing. I thought they were... they didn't feel like they fit in the story, and they kind of felt... Yeah. Like, they made me feel uncomfortable, and I was like, oh, this lady's being murdered now. Okay, in this dog book. And it was just like a strange thing there. Also, if dogs have bad short-term memory, wouldn't the alpha dog also have forgotten? Or is it like a young dog thing? Because I don't know. I guess that doesn't really matter. I mean, it could just really be like a...
You don't have to get all like cinema sins on it, Alex.
I'm 35 things wrong with this issue by Image Comics.
Yeah.
Although I think cinema sins would go higher. Probably would.
Yeah. It could be a Dory thing, but yeah, I don't know.
I was kind of more in line for like the dogs, like, you know, just like dogs, foster care, like meeting each other kind of like thing. And like, oh, they threw a mystery in, which just, yeah, I don't know. It didn't really work for me.
Also, Matt Fraction and David Aja just did this way better, like 5 years ago, 6 years, 8 years ago. Jesus Christ. and the pizza dog issue of Hawkeye, which isn't a murder mystery, but it's like the same conceit, but
sure.
The thing that actually makes that issue work, where this issue falters, is that Pizza Dog doesn't talk, and all the dogs in this thing talk. And
yeah,
I hate
less
it.
Dialogue they, equals worse dialogue.
I hate it when they open their mouths.
Damn.
So I would have killed the fucking dogs, not the owners, if it were up to me.
What if that's what it was? What if it's like owners who like have like short-term memory, so they don't remember what they are, and it's just like a bunch of humans like they're on all fours being like, what happened? And then they flash back and it's their dogs being killed. That would still be weird, but I don't know.
I don't think I fully followed that.
Okay, so it's like, you know how there's all those dogs?
That wasn't an invitation for you to explain.
Instead, there's all these humans, right? And they're all just sitting there. But their memory only lasts for one day, so they don't know that humans shouldn't be, you know, just sitting there on all fours, maybe naked, and like, you know, one of them pisses on the floor. Exact same story, but you just switch the dogs and you switch the people around. Because who are the true animals, Jean-Luc? Who are the true animals?
I feel like when you just... explained it just now, it made it more confusing for me.
Okay, yeah. One more time.
All so I'm just gonna say is that look, war people. Makes okay, here's the thing. You asked who the true animals are. Well, war makes animals of us all.
Thanks, Archie.
And that's what happens.
War
and that's what
Scott
Two Moons
Snyder.
That's what Two Moons number one is kind of about.
Uh-huh.
Which is the other new number one from Image Comics that takes place during the Civil War.
The art was the best thing about this book.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily a compliment towards the art.
I thought that art was fine. I like the monster design.
I like it's not like the stylistically it's not super memorable, but there are some really good pages. Like it's not like a unique style, but the there's like those pages that are, I think it's pages like 14 and 15 that are like the when the Confederates are storming the Union camp. And you get this big battle scene with all of these people on it. I think that those pages actually had like that. Those pages look really good. Like there's a lot of good like action happening in those pages. And I liked those a lot. There's a couple other pages that look good. I think Chad's right. The monster design is kind of interesting at the end, or not interesting, but it like, it's scary. It's creepy. It's creepy. In like a lot of, you know, like generic ways, but it works. I didn't hate this, but the narrative just I don't know. I really don't know, man. Like, I can't tell if this book is like war makes monsters of us all, or if it's more about like mythology and folklore of the main character being Native American. So I don't know if that's clearly a part of it, but I don't know how much of a role that's going to play. It just didn't stick with me, you know?
Yeah, I know like the outro bit where like the author does his essay is sort of like, this is going to be a character study and not because no culture is a monolith. So it's about this person and this person and this person. And it's like, okay. But I think if you're looking at like really deep dives into interesting mythology, we're probably not going to get that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a character study about like the way that they relate to the mythologies of their culture, right? Like, but I don't know.
Fine. I'm not like in love with it or anything, but like I don't hate that I read it. I like the setting. I do think some of the action was handled well. Like there's things it's doing fine, but yeah, like there's not a lot of like major character or voice to it, like other than the setting is kind of stand out to me, and then the monsters are kind of neat, but it doesn't have like a big character hook, which is way more important.
Yeah, that's what it's not compelling. Like you said, it's not just that there's not a character hook. There's not a hook. Like it looks good, and the setting is like not a setting that you like. Setting it during the Civil War is not something you see every day for sure. Hmm. But yeah, I just felt like things happened and I didn't care that they happened. And I'll read the next issue and maybe that'll change. But not super high on this one.
Emily, did you read that at all?
No, because I didn't see it when I was going through the list of comics. And then, like, I was sitting here and John said there were two Image number ones and I said, oh no.
What did you guys think of?
Check this out, but it doesn't seem that I missed anything.
Nah, probably not.
I mean, it might. It's one of those that like could get good in the future, but yeah, for now you didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Department of Truth number 6?
I liked it. I mean, as a sort of a side story, get deeper into the mythology of like lies and the power of them and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was neat. I like the back and forth between the old lady and the sort of missionary guy there. A little less, because all the other times we go back in time, it's like horrifying and the art's very, very much like that. This one to me was just a bit more like interesting, and I like the sort of storybook, old timey. It felt like a Brothers Grimm fairy tale, like a Hansel and Gretel style kind of thing going on. And, I thought it was neat for like what I think mostly is just like a fill-in issue, probably be like an annual or something. But yeah,
I had some like Neil Gaiman vibes going on.
Yeah,
I can see that. I really liked the artist change. I don't know if I doubt it's permanent. I liked it in some cases, but not in others. Like I like the opening page that's like all the TV coverage of Lee Harvey Oswald being quote unquote assassinated is in like a different art style. It reminds me a lot of Darwin Cook. And I like that the flash, like it's not exactly a flashback, but like the visual portrayal of the story that he's reading is in that art style. I kind of wish the stuff that took place like with them in the library was in the old art style. I think it would have fit better because the prevailing art style like has a whimsy to it that I think does suit the flashback, and it does suit like the opening scene, but doesn't suit the, you know, the few pages as well as I think the normal art would, the more like distorted, blurry, like dark art style would. But I did really like the art in the flashback stuff. I don't like the reveal at the end. I think it's like the most boring direction for the book to go in, which is like at the end, like the old woman refers to herself as one of the enlightened, and at the end, like he has on a page the enlightened equals Illuminati underscored, and
it's very Dan Brown.
Yeah, it is. Daniel. It is. It's like the kind of thing where like this book like. has had a lot of interesting ideas and has executed on them really well in the first five issues. And if we're doing like, and I have a little bit of faith in this book, not a little bit, I have a lot of faith in this book to not just do like a kind of by the numbers bait and switch, like, oh, it's the Illuminati running everything. I don't know. I think, or I guess not running everything in this case, or, but you know, I just think that the idea of like, oh, it's just like, it's a secret society is like kind of boring when this book has exhibited that it has much more interesting ideas to grapple with than that.
I think there's a lot of baggage when you put the word Illuminati at the end of a book like that. And it's,
But I think I do agree with you. I hadn't actually had that thought, but Chad saying that it's very like Neil Gaiman-esque is interesting. I mean, it's like the flashback is basically the same idea. What is the core conceit of the book, which is that we create our own reality, and it's basically just like finding out it's been going on for a lot longer than we may have thought.
Yeah.
Which was fine. I liked the back and forth. It was a little lighter than what's been going on in previous issues, so
that's for sure.
It's like, a nice change of pace, but not my favorite issue for the same reason.
Sure. I liked how angular all of the characters were in that flashback, because while it was lighter and very bright, there's still something kind of like jagged and just a little sinister, dangerous to everything. Yeah, like,
yeah,
there was a really good play on tone there that was cool. Like I said, the Illuminati thing, I was like, whatever. Like, I don't mind it. It feels a little overplayed, but I think the issue itself is still really quite strong. There's a lot of neat stuff in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah, I liked the art a lot, and I really liked the old lady, but I thought that some of the going through all of the, like, mythology stuff got a little tedious. And
yeah,
reading all of it kind of like, it did get to a point where I kind of wish that maybe this was a little more abbreviated than it was, because it felt like it was going on for a very long time. But I liked it. It wasn't my favorite issue, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't mad at it.
Yeah. It does a lot. It basically does the like, set up small mystery and then reveal like three times in the course of her telling her story, like,
yeah,
oh, but your calendar was used for evil purposes, and then reveals it, and then like there's the whole Charlemagne thing. So I absolutely get that. Like, it was a little I was a little tired, but it was fine.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a natural sort of conversation, maybe not a natural sort of conversation you'd have in real life, but a natural sort of conversation that people would have in movies or something, where like sort of back and forth, two characters doing it all. And it's a refreshing change from like what we've been getting, and I've been loving what we've been getting, but you know, doing like the school shooting issue and all that sort of heavy stuff. And this adds to it. But again, it's like it's a little bit of a reprieve. In that grand scheme of things, but I'm very excited to go back to the regular artist next issue and keep going on with this book.
Yep,
because it's probably my favorite thing being published right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. Like, this book rules for the most part.
Cool. That's like really it for what came out this week, I think, unless.
I read one anything. More.
What'd you read? Oh, did you read the Superman thing?
I read Crossover number 4.
Why?
Oh, no, I'm done with that shit.
Well, okay, so read is a strong word, but I skipped to the end, and then I read the last three pages, because when I saw the last page, I was like, what? What?
Okay, hold on, I gotta look at this.
Just go to the last page, and okay. I don't want you to spoil what is on the last page, but give me a reaction.
Okay. I won't spoil it. Does it matter if am I going to be like really mad?
It's just like, this makes what? I'm a little angry. Not angry. I'm just like, this is.
What the fuck, dude?
Right? Right?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
yeah. Okay.
Stop being a suspenseful jerk here. On the last few pages, you meet a character, and it's this old lady, and it's anyway the comic book characters are there, and the human character is there, And she's like, oh, my grandfather wielded great power, and only one power can save us. It's the sword Valifax. And then it's the last page is the sword from God Country.
Oh, that's upsetting.
And yeah. It's there. Yeah. Yeah. It's
that's definitely a, like, Donny Cates put his whole fucking cock in his mouth and just went to fucking town with that.
I was when I saw that page and I'm like, oh, he's okay. All right.
Dude, I thought it was going to be like Dr. Manhattan or some shit. This is way worse.
Yeah, this is like when way
fucking worse.
When the Sandman guy Morpheus shows up, right? In Batman, and you're like, "No, don't do this to me, DC. I actually like one of these things. What is wrong with you?"
Well, it's even worse. Okay, well, maybe it's not worse cuz like Sandman showed up in Metal and then like on like the cliffhanger, and then the next issue he was gone. It was like, and the Sandman left while we were gone. It's like, why would you do this?
We left the door unlocked and he just went out the front door and never came back.
It was either Neil Gaiman or Scott Snyder tweeted at that time that they were like, oh, like so happy about this. Or I think Scott Snyder's like, you're gonna see Sandman in it. We're so excited for this. This is so amazing. And oh man, that guy's credibility. But yeah. Donny Cates putting Valifax from God, for those that don't know, it's from a mini series he did, God Country, which was one of his big breaks and one of my favorite series. I think
that was our number one comic of 2016.
Yeah,
if I remember
correctly. Fantastic comic.
17,
and it was about a mystical sword, not really kind of that played into it. And it reappears here, which I mean, if you've read God Country, it seems like Donny Cates missed the point of his own book. But it's fine. So yeah, that I when I saw that, I'm glad I read this so I could share that Valifax has returned in crossover number 4.
Hooray!
Yay.
You've made me so happy.
Oh, just wait till Tuesday, Chad. Just wait till Tuesday. I don't know what's happening on Tuesday. I don't know, something to look forward to. Yay!
Did you send me something?
No, do you want me to?
No.
Okay, well, glad we're in agreement, Chad.
Me too.
All right, I value your friendship.
Yeah, you bastard.
Yeah, I like how your hair looks now. I mean, I liked how it looked before, but I like the purple.
I do too. It's fun. I hope the touch up goes well tomorrow. I have a feeling no one at work is even gonna fucking notice.
I don't think they will.
Just promise us no more paint thinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little disappointing that they won't, but also kind of reassuring just because of... It's for the best.
Yeah. I'm sure it's nerve-wracking when you get it. Yeah. It's a drastic change to the hair, even if it's like a similar dark color. I feel like someone will have to notice it. Like, if someone is close to you, they'll be like, But I guess you'll let us know.
I think it'll be dependent on which building I'm in, because there's different lighting in them based on like inspection needs to meet, you know, customer quality specifications, right? And so like building 5 has like really bright white lights in it. And I think it's going to be pretty obvious there, but then like building 2 is a little more yellow in the lights, and I think it's not going to show up as much because of that. So that'll be fun.
Which building will it be?
I'm kind of in all of them, so eventually I'll...
You can just keep adding dye to your hair till someone notices.
Keep
going. And if that fails, you can do a reverse mohawk thing.
I wish it was a bit more purple. I feel like the results on the website are slightly misleading, but...
Some of the pictures that they show on the website are people that had, like, previously slightly lightened hair before.
Yeah, some of the YouTube tutorials were like that too, where like, it's this for brown hair, but I went and bleached it first, and it's like, well, why?
That's a big step.
Well, one of the benefits of using the purple for brown hair, even if you do bleach ahead of time, is that like, even if you don't like get it like super bleached, like it'll still look good and purpley on the hair, and it won't necessarily like if you put just regular purple dye on hair that's still kind of bronzy blonde, it'll like be a different color, like a different shade of purple, because the bronze will interact with the purple dye. but for with a overtone purple for brown hair, it goes on a little better and it works with the bronze a little better. So it looks a little more purpley.
Also, like the pictures, like when they do the before and after, like they're using really light brown hair, whereas I have pretty dark brown hair.
Yeah. You should get your hair bleached and then do it again, and you'll be so purple, Chad.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to use all this stuff up first, obviously, and then go from there. Because it's like $50 for it, so if it's actually only like a bit over 100
to, like a couple months.
If I partition it out properly.
Yeah.
True.
But anyways, that was the fun thing.
Can you dye it? Is it healthy to dye a cat a color, or is that cruel?
I would say cruel.
They make special dye that is pet friendly. There are ways to dye pet hair that is like not harmful, but like using regular hair dye is not good.
Hmm. Cool. I'm not gonna do that to my 20-year-old cat, but just interesting to know.
Yeah.
Yay! Did anyone read any more comics?
No, I think we're ready to close out.
I think we're closing it out. So as always, thanks for listening. You can find us online at a lot of places. Comics Podcast on Twitter and Facebook, that kind of thing. At mpandonata for Emily on Twitter. At inonimband for Chad. At Alex Hansiak for Alex. And at Mountain Dew Liker for me. And you can find all the respective things that we do on those places. Music, other podcasts, video games, short stories.
Yeah, I did a new one.
Marketing for video games.
Anonym.wordpress.com. I have a fantasy story with some dwarves and some magic.
Dwarves.
It's kind of fun. I sent it to people to proofread and none of them did.
I'm sorry, I was busy. I think you sent it to me in the middle of playing Titanfall, and I was like, I'll get to that later. And then just played more Titanfall. So that's on me, I'm sorry.
Oh, I see the message. I'm gonna put a sad react.
Okay. I think Alex was playing Titanfall with me.
Yeah, we've been playing Titanfall. That's pretty neat. Anyone get the face team? You know, these hamburgers are quite similar to the ones they have at Krusty Burger. It's a new family recipe. For steamed hams. Yes. Steamed hams. Yes, we call them steamed hams. Despite the fact, they are obvious to grill. You know, one thing I say, you've steamed a ham. Patented Skinner Burger.